It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Here we go into hour number two, and it's nice to have you riding along, as always, here on a Saturday morning. Bob Grove is still with me. Matter of fact, we'll do a little road tripping with Bob and Mark Wade coming up here in just a few minutes. I don't remember what Mark decided we were going to talk about today. Do you? Winter getaways, I think.
Yeah, winter places to go for family winter getaways.
You know a few of those, I would guess.
I know a few.
Well, hopefully you'll share them with us.
From taking my family to them,
yeah,
for many, many years.
Well, and your winter getaways are a lot easier from where you call home these days down in L.A. Virkin. You've got the weather.
Right.
He's switching out his headphones, I can tell. Bob, are you still there? Well, I'll tell you what, we'll try and make a connection with Bob Grove again coming up here. Been that kind of a morning. I guess the theme song will tell you who our guest is going to be coming up next, and that is Faith Jolly from the Division of Wildlife Resources, because as we like to say, you just got to have a little faith these days. You back, Bob?
Yeah, I'm back. Mark tried calling me on the other line. He knocked me off the air.
Well, tell him to leave you alone for a minute. Faith Jolly is with us. Faith, hope you had a great Thanksgiving with your family.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was great. They did not play this song for me, though.
No?
So that's still just your specialty. Yeah.
Well, should have invited me over for turkey and pie, then, I guess.
I know.
Here it is. Yeah, so we have Faith Jolly with us today. There were a couple of things we wanted to talk about. One of them was reporting wildlife sightings in your particular city or town, which has become more of a thing these days as we do this urban sprawl thing into areas where the wildlife used to call home. But before we get there, you sent me a press release a couple of days ago. And, Bob, I don't know if you heard about this, but I was really intrigued by this partnership with Young Farms, Young Living. It's a nursery. It's a huge plot of land that's going to be used as a nursery for bighorn sheep. Tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, it's actually super exciting. Yeah, so this is specifically for desert bighorn sheep in the state. And previously, Antelope Island has kind of served as our Rocky Mountain bighorn sheep, you know, nursery herd is kind of what we call it. Kind of helping to grow that population, and then we transplant them to different herds across the state. But we haven't had one for desert bighorns. So, yes, we partnered with Young Living, as you mentioned. We're going to be using their private property, the Skyrider Wilderness Ranch out in Duchesne County. 1,800 acres, and we're going to start kind of using that and populating that with desert bighorn sheep specifically. And then once that population kind of grows, we'll be able to pull from that to kind of supplement other herds around the state. So, yeah, super exciting stuff for us.
And that's going to be, you mentioned that it was in Duchesne County, out around Hanna, if I remember right. Is it just an area that topographically is good for the sheep, or just the fact that it's such an expansive property?
Yeah, so kind of both. Yeah, it's 1,800 acres. It has like a river that runs through it, so it has a good water source for the bighorn sheep. And then, yeah, it's kind of got some of that rocky terrain that they like, kind of high elevation areas. And one of the big things that's kind of key for this is it's all the way fenced in. It's got a high fence around it, so it will contain the sheep to that area, which is important because we've kind of dealt with some disease issues in the past, but they're just really susceptible to kind of a pneumonia type disease. And so when one gets it, they'll spread it to other herds, and it's kind of been an issue for our population. So this will kind of help keep them contained, disease free. And then as we grow that population, like I said, we'll be able to kind of help out grow some of the other populations and herds around the state. So, yeah, it's a perfect, kind of a perfect partnership here with this property with Young Living.
How cool is that, Bob, huh?
That's awesome. You know, of course, here near where I live in Zion, we have a nice population of the desert bighorn in the park. Yeah. And we often see them on the east side of the park, and they go back into these side canyons. We had a great day of spotting some during the rut and Fat Man's Misery a couple of years ago.
That's awesome.
Fat Man's Misery.
It is very cool. It's cool to see them. Yep.
That's one of the great names of a slot canyon ever, Fat Man's Misery, which is a good warning for some of us not to go in there. All right. So the expectation is, the hope is to have about, 150 bighorn sheep out there. Hunting's not going to be allowed on the property. Do you foresee a time when people could actually go out there and view these animals?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. One that I don't have a great answer to. I don't think we've really talked about that yet. But yeah, for now, we're just kind of planning to like get some from, hopefully from Nevada Department of Wildlife to kind of start that initial herd. And then we'll just try and grow them and I guess, yeah, see where it goes from there. And yeah, maybe sometime in the future, we could see if Young Living's open to letting people come out there because they are super cool to see in the wild.
Yeah. I love what Young Living founder D. Gary Young said in your press release. He said, my great-grandfather told me when I was 10 years old, my boy, whatever you do in this life, leave something behind that will make this world a better place for those coming. And he sees this as a way of doing that, where these bighorn that are actually nursed and grown there can actually repopulate and live happily ever after in some other parts of the state and surrounding states, which is fantastic. All right, we'll leave that there. Speaking of seeing animals, more and more of us, those of us that live in these urban interface zones, are seeing big game even right in our own backyards. That's not always the place you want to see them.
It's true. And you know, like you mentioned, as we kind of are continuing to grow and expand across the Wasatch Front, yeah, we're kind of going into more of their areas. So some of these wildlife encounters and sightings are starting to increase. And so, yeah, we're kind of spreading the word of like when to report, when you don't necessarily need to report. Just because sometimes during the winter months, you know, deer will come down in the valleys looking for food and cougars will follow. And so we'll kind of get an influx of some of these wildlife sightings in cities. So anyway, we're kind of going over the do's and don'ts, I guess, of when you need to give us a call.
Yeah. Bob, it's one of the attractions where you live, though, isn't it?
Well, it is, you know, especially where I live, just off the foothills out of the hills east of us going to Zion, we get quite a bit of wildlife. But, you know, where I used to get even more wildlife is, you know, I grew up in Bountiful. And we used to get a lot of wildlife coming out of Mill Creek, Mill Creek Canyon, coming down through the creek into town. And it's, like we just heard, that often the mountain lions would be following the deer down.
Yeah.
So we would get mountain lion sightings in town in the neighborhoods quite often.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it's one thing if it's a deer or a moose. If it's a bear or a cougar, I'm making that phone call yesterday.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's one of the things we're kind of telling people, you know, just to avoid kind of an unnecessary call or something. Basically, the main times you need to call and report some of these bigger wildlife in cities is, you know, anytime it looks injured or sick, you know, that's something we'd want to respond to. If it's acting aggressively, obviously, you know, that can pose some kind of public safety concerns. And then with cougars specifically, usually they're just traveling through the area, you know, trying to follow the deer. But if you do happen to see one several times, like repeatedly, on, you know, catching it on your doorbell camera, security camera, or if it's killed something in your neighborhood or yard where it's going to keep coming back, that's something we want reported so that we can come remove it. But a lot of times people will call and say, I saw a cougar on my cameras. And by the time we get there, it's long gone. So kind of sometimes, you know, it isn't as beneficial as it may seem. So, yeah, anyway. And we kind of have a breakdown of the different species, when to call, when not to call. And you can find that on our website.
Well, and people may be sitting out there saying, well, I would never see that in my neighborhood. I live in West Jordan, right across the street from Copper Hills High School, basically. Very urban area here with lots of houses, lots of traffic, and two cougars have been taken out of people's window wells that were hunkered down in this and surrounding neighborhoods. So never say never here. Is there a particular number people should call?
So we recommend just go on our website. You can find the numbers for all of our regional offices. We have five regional offices and then our Salt Lake office. basically just call the one that's closest to you, because those are, you know, going to be the closest biologists, conservation officers that can get there and respond in a timely manner.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there. But as always, if you want more information on this or many of the things we talk about with the Division of Wildlife Resources, go to their website, which is just wildlife.utah.gov. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to be adding Mark Waite into the conversation. We'll talk about winter destinations. Faith, thanks so much. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tim.
Have a great one. Bob, stand by. We'll do a little road tripping coming up next here on KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is time to do a little road trip, and that must mean Bob and Mark are here.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Always excited to find out where we're going to be headed with Bob and Mark. And Bob Grove, Mark Wade jumps into the conversation here. Guys, welcome. Mark, first of all, you, where are you today?
Well, I'm just south of Provo a little ways in Mona, Utah.
Ah, so you're rebuilding the homestead, huh?
Actually built a new homestead. We're just trying to get it all situated.
Yeah, which is always fun, I guess, right at Christmas and Thanksgiving time when when everybody else is dragging out the bins that have been in storage all year.
Yeah.
I happen to know that, that Mark's wife, Denise, is missing the trailer.
He's laughing. So that must mean Denise is not missing the trailer at this point. You guys were on the road a good long time, though, weren't you?
We were. We're glad to be back and settled for the winter, at least. And we'll see what happens in the spring.
Yeah. That's why I chuckle a little bit when Navidovskis talks to me about, you know, because they bought a Class A motorhome, and he figured they were just going to live in that and stay on the road. And I said, well, let's see how you and Mama get along in 12 feet of space for, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then I'll decide if I buy one and tag along or if I just rent one a couple of times to join you somewhere on the road. Speaking of being on the road, let's talk about winter getaways here. Before we jumped in, Mark, you said you were looking at the forecast, and it looks like Beaver, Utah is looking for some snow next week.
Well, that's why I was looking at Beaver, because we thought we'd talk a little bit about, for example, some of the places down in southwestern Utah where you can get away to. One of them is Eagle Point Resort, just above Beaver. And, you know, everybody's a little shy on snow right now, right? And so I was looking to see, and it looks like a week from now, there's a snow shower, and then there's another one following up a few days later. These are potential snow showers. We hope they come.
Yeah. And people that haven't been to Eagle Point in a while, Mark, probably wouldn't recognize the place. It has undergone not just several ownerships, but they've really done some good things there.
They have. You know, they just renovated one of their big lodges there. There's a couple hundred condos you can rent there. Of course, you can stay in Beaver when you want to go skiing or snowboarding there. But I was looking at some comparisons of Eagle Point, and it's got about 1,500 feet of vertical drop. It's got forest lifts. It's got 650 acres of skiable area. And so it's a great little place. And, you know, it's about half the price of what you're going to pay along the Wasatch Front for your passes. And so if you're looking for a place where you can have a little less crowd and a little less to fork out for the dollars for the day, then Eagle Point might be a good choice for a winter getaway.
Yeah, the only bummer for them is they don't get quite as cold a temperatures as they've had here in the north, and the advantage for resorts up here is they've been able to blow snow when Mother Nature wasn't cooperating. But it won't be long, I'm sure, before Eagle Point has things up and running. Bob, before I ask you about Hurricane Valley, can you you want to get your Justin Bieber story in here? Or
you brought that up.
Well, Mark was talking about snow coming for Tuesday, and you said Justin Bieber. Yeah, ba-dum-bum.
And then I had to, yeah.
Then you thought better of it.
Came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
You know, once a dad, always a dad. You just can't get the dad jokes out of you, you know.
Bad dad jokes.
My kids are all rolling their eyes, I'm sure.
Yeah. How about Hurricane Valley? And here we're talking about a little warmer winter getaway.
Well, you know what we like about Hurricane Valley is it's a nice alternative to staying in St. George, where everybody else and their dog goes. It's like halfway between St. George and Zion National Park. And you've got a lot. You've got great golf courses here: Coral Canyon, Sky Mountain, Sand Hollow, and others. You know, you just a great place to stay. Red Cliffs National Conservation Area, a great place to hike down in the Babylon area. You know, you got the Virgin River running through with Confluence Park. It's just a really nice alternative. And St. George is only 20 minutes away when you want to run into town. So you can get out of the crowds and stay here where it's a little more open space. And, of course, there's lodging in L.A. Hurricane.
Yeah. And, Mark, you know, we always talk as if everybody enjoys either skiing or snowmobiling. The fact is there's a lot of people that don't. And so you have to have these warmer weather getaways, and the people from the north love coming your direction.
They really do. And, you know, winter, what I love about this area in the winter is the wind doesn't blow. And so daytime temperatures in this part of southern Utah, your elevations are only at about 3,000 feet. And you're in a T-shirt, you know, 58, 62, 64 degrees. And when you're hiking or outdoor mountain biking, golfing even, it's just pretty nice temperatures and the wind's not blowing, so it doesn't kill you.
Yeah. We don't have time for both of these, Bob, but
yeah,
Island Park or Grand Targhee, pick one.
Well, let's talk about Grand Targhee. This is one of my, you know, sorry, Raylene Davis and Nate over at Ski Utah, but Grand Targhee is one of my absolute favorite ski resorts. It's got exceptional deep snow. It's a great resort that has a great variety of terrain from beginner to expert, cat skiing, fat bike riding on the snow. It's just on the western slopes of the Teton Mountains, about 12 miles from Driggs, Idaho.
Yeah.
And it's just a great choice there in Teton Valley. I think one of the most beautiful resorts that we have in the West.
Well, and it's one of those places, too, that when the high pressure is really locking us down here along the Wasatch Front, sometimes their storms will be just above that pressure ridge, and they get it and we don't. And it's not a bad drive from Salt Lake City.
No, it's about 300 miles, but it's not a bad drive. And Teton Valley is such a cool area. You know, you can either stay up at Grand Targhee. They have a nice little lodge and village there, or you can stay down in Driggs or in Victor, one of the area small communities down below.
Yeah, like we always say about Alta, it's just got a great vibe up there for skiing and just hanging out around Grand Targhee. Mark, tell them where to find you guys online to follow along with these adventures.
Well, go to www.roadtrippingwithbobandmark.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at the same address.
All right, Mark, send our love to Denise. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Bob, tell Susan hi.
Will do.
We'll take.
We're going to be up your way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know you're marrying off a grandchild, which is just blowing my mind. I can't have friends that are actually old enough to do that.
I tried to talk him out of it. Getting married at 12, you know.
Whatever. Okay, we'll take a break here. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about snow today on our snow day. Making a connection with Alta Ski Resort and looking forward to our first conversation of the season with Andrea Huskinson. So stay with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.